Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to episode 170 of Geek Town Radio. We're back this week with Matt. How you doing?
Hey David, how you doing?
I'm alright, how are you?
I'm okay, yeah, good.
So what have you been up to this week?
Finally, I'm playing Zelda, Breath of the Wild, or the Legend of Zelda, Breath of the Wild, whatever you want to call it. Very, very good game, of course, on the go as well. You're able to do that, of course, with the Switch. It is out there for the Wii U, but nobody owns one of those, so that doesn't matter.
Yeah, fair point.
But no, really, really good. It encourages you to do like lots of exploration.
Yeah.
And I got to sort of the first couple of boss fights, and I'm finding that I really don't like using two-handed weapons because you get no like shield and stuff. And I tried to get rid of basically my two-handed weapons and get some more shields and stuff. I'd heard going in about the whole durability of the weapons and stuff, and it is pretty annoying. Like after maybe 10 hits or something.
I found that very annoying. Yeah.
And when I was facing that enemy from before, he kept breaking my shield within like 3 hits. But like that's like the one negative thing I'd take away from the game. But other than that, it's like beautiful. It's amazing when like I take it out of the dock and do it in handheld.
Right.
And like the rain and like the all the water and stuff like that and how good it looks is running on a Switch. It's quite amazing.
Yeah.
But I finally managed to get it. So that's really, really good as well. Saw a trailer yesterday. I'm not sure if it's like the newest trailer or one of the trailers, but I'd seen a new trailer pop up for Jack Ryan, which is the John Krasinski series that's come out from the Tom Clancy books, I think it is. It's in the same sort of wheelhouse as Splinter Cell and all them sort of things, like The Division.
Yeah, I mean,
basically
it's
the Ubisoft games, that sort of thing.
I guess it kind of is. I mean, obviously, the Tom Clancy, Jack Ryan series has been around for quite a while, you know, ever since they did sort of Hunt for Red October as a movie, you know. So this has got a lot of buzz going about it to the point that Amazon have already renewed it for a second season before it's even aired.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and John Krasinski's a very hot property at the moment.
Oh,
so,
it's fantastic. Yeah.
So, I'm really intrigued to see it. 31st of August that comes out. I'm very
just
interested
a couple of weeks,
in that.
Yeah. Because I was watching the trailer and I'd either forgotten the date or didn't know it. And then it was like Amazon, it was showing John and all that kind of stuff. I was like, I have no idea when, is it like next year? Is it later this year?
Yeah.
And it was like August 31st. I was like, oh, that's in like a couple of weeks. That's really cool.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh yeah, this has got a second season as well. Really cool. So all good stuff sort of adding up and coming together. Really, really looking forward to that.
Yeah.
So that should be quite good. And then the last of my longer sort of mentions, Nashville concluded, was it last week? Yeah, last week on Friday. And I was happy with the ending. I had a couple of problems with some of the, like, where some of the characters went. I feel like they almost ruined Juliet, which is Hayden Panettiere's character.
Yeah.
Not ruined her to a point where I was like, I hate this character, but it was like, okay, they just stripped all the music away from her. Small spoilers, I suppose. She, like, retired from music and decided to basically live a completely different life, but with her the family intact that she had remaining.
Right.
They did this mini sort of musical bit at the end where like not a massive like 10 minute music sequence, but all of the cast came back on the stage and they're all like dressed up all fancy and whatever, and the producer came, I think it was the producer, came out and said like thank you for the last 6 years and basically said goodbye. So it ended really, really well, but I just had a couple of issues with where some of the characters ended up. But no, it was good. I'm happy with it overall, so that's
cool.
Good. It's weird because it did get cancelled, left in the wind, but then CMT picked it up and they like did two final seasons and concluded included it. So
yeah,
good stuff. Quick mentions, Better Call Saul's recently returned. It will have its third episode this week.
Yes.
And yes, me and David are doing that called Becoming Saul. So that's been quite good so far.
Yeah, going out on Wednesdays on entertainmenttalk.org if you want to go and find that.
So that's been pretty good as well. Teen Titans Go, I saw last week, which is basically a family-friendly, fun version of the Titans, because if you all know about the upcoming Titans series, yes, the DC streaming one.
It's definitely not family-friendly.
No, that's the much more adult version. Yeah, and it's basically the live-action adult version, and this is the family-friendly, fun one. What I took out of it was all like the cameos and the references and stuff, because it's just full of that, and it's really, really good for that sort of stuff. And obviously, I won't spoil anything, but there's some nice surprises in terms of that.
Good.
So, yeah, that was quite fun as well. And then I just wanted to mention Ninja Theory, because they've been a really, really good influence on this industry. They reached, I can't remember the exact numbers of everything, but they basically, because they released Hellblade on Xbox and PC, because it was previously only on PS4, they reached a certain number of Xbox One sales, and for the second time they donated money to Mental Health America. They'd done it before.
Cool.
I think it was like 25,000 or something they donated, and they did it again because they reached I think it was 100,000 Xbox One sales. I think it was within the first week or something, but they did it before when they reached a certain number of sales with the PS4, and it's just really, really good that they are doing that sort of thing. So
yeah, that's awesome.
I just thought I'd give them a nice shout out as well.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It's about everything.
Me this week, I finished Unreal Season 4, which is a show I've loved ever since the first season. This is the thing which is a drama set behind the scenes of one of those bachelorette sort of big American dating shows.
Yeah.
It's finally concluded after 4 seasons, and leaves it in a pretty neatly wrapped up way. It's sort of, I don't know whether they knew they were coming to their final season or whether it was cancelled, but it does wrap it up nicely enough. I suspect they could have gone on if they had been picked up again, but it does have some finality to it as well, which is nice. So that's been really good. It gets very, very dark in that last season.
Okay.
Which
you think
is
I'd
not
like it?
Yes, I think it's worth trying.
Okay.
I honestly do, because I was very much the same I never into reality TV. I never really liked those sort of shows.
Yeah.
But it's not like that at all. I mean, it is solidly a drama, basically like having a bunch of narcissistic people setting up games and manipulating a bunch of other narcissistic people that are in the house, you know. Mm-hmm. The producers are as bad, if not worse, than the contestants. But it's funny, but it's surprisingly dark in places, and well worth going to watch. But all 4 seasons of that are on Amazon Prime if you want to go and find that.
Okay. So it's scripted drama, yeah?
Scripted drama, yes, it is. It is a scripted drama. It's not in any way, shape or form a reality TV show. It's just based behind the scenes of one of those reality TV shows, but it is a scripted drama. So that I really enjoyed. It's all 4 seasons are up on Amazon Prime now, worth going to watch. 911, which is Ryan Murphy's new show. Well, I say new. It's been around in the US for a while, but 911, mm-hmm. which is
first
season of it. Really interesting the way that that's put together, because it is essentially a procedural show, but it's almost chopped into little sort of vignette segments that sort of connect together, because you get these sort of 911, you know, they actually show a sort of fake 911 call come in, and then it's sort of you see them responding to it, the various different units, whether it be police or fire, responding to it. And you also have the 911 controller, which in the first season is played by Connie Britton, although apparently that's from
former Nashville
star. But she apparently won't be back for the second season. But I'm not entirely sure why that is. But she's only doing the first season. So yeah, but that's on Sky Witness now. Worth going to watch that.
Yeah, I really liked it as well. The whole baby in the toilet thing was crazy.
That was kind of crazy. I'm assuming there's some research done to show that sort of thing could actually happen, but I don't know. It was really crazy. But certainly a really interesting take on the sort of procedural drama thing. I thought that. Really enjoyed it. Disenchantment, which I watched the first couple of episodes of, which is Matt Groening's new show, creator of Futurama and The Simpsons. Really interesting new animated series, because it's not the sort of typical setup of those Futurama or Simpsons episodes where everything resets at the end of the episode. Well, certainly the first two episodes aren't. Mm. It seems to be a continuing story. There are some good gags in it. It's not quite as funny as maybe I'd like it to be, but there was a lot of setting up in that first episode, as you'd sort of expect. So I don't want to overly judge it on the first couple of episodes. I think it's only 8 or 10 episodes for the first season anyway.
I think it's 10, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. I'm going to watch the whole of the first season. I'll have a proper kind of opinion on it. But enjoyable, but not quite there. In those first couple of episodes, but. We'll see. I'll watch the rest of it. It is encouraging me to watch more, so that's good.
Yeah, I've seen the first three episodes. I think it's the first three, and I like the whole good bad side that they set up with the elf and the demon. I think that was really funny, and some of the dark jokes that the demon comes out with.
Yeah,
I'm not quite into the whole like marriage plot they came up with, but everything else around it, the jokes and the characters, I quite got on with. I thought they were quite good.
Yeah, I mean
it's in its early days still. So
yeah, it is a nice idea. The basic premise is there is a princess. The king is trying to marry her off to form an alliance. She meets an elf. The elves were great. I really enjoyed those. And the demon, which are acting almost as a sort of good angel, bad angel for her. But it was fun. I could do with a little bit more humor in there. It's not quite got the sort of instant grasp that something like Futurama had, but. I'll watch the rest of it. I want to see how it sort of turns out this first season. I watched the end of Gotham this week as well, which, for those that hadn't realised, although Gotham is still running on E4, if you've got Netflix, it's now on Netflix, that fourth season. So you can actually, even though it's not finished running, it's got a couple of episodes left on E4, you can actually watch the last few episodes if you don't want to wait. You can go onto Netflix and watch them there. So I've finished the full season of Gotham. Leaves it in a very, very interesting place. It looks like they're going to be doing Zero Year next season, which is an interesting plot line from the New 52 run or the Rebirth run. I think it was
something like that.
I think it was from the New 52 run on DC, but it sort of has a Gotham which is somewhat decimated and is actually in control of the Riddler sort of has control of a lot of the criminals have control of the city. Ra's al Ghul kind of turns up and he's trying to train Bruce into becoming the Dark Knight that we all know and love. So that's going to make it very interesting next season. But I thoroughly enjoyed that series. I thought that was really good.
I hope that they go sort of full Batman next season.
I think they will by the end of it.
They did it at the start a bit, and then they sort of dropped it off quite a bit. I'm not understanding the whole hashtag save Gotham, because it's been given a final season.
Yeah.
I guess people just want it to run for years and years.
It can't. It has to have a definitive end point, that show, because he's got to turn into Batman at some point.
Which I'm very much looking forward to. So.
Yeah, and I mean, they may do it in a sort of, hopefully they do it better than Smallville did with Superman, because they fudged that ending really badly, but I hope we get to see a bit more of it, and the only thing they need to do is send that kid that plays Bruce Wayne down to the gym, because he's a bit too skinny at the moment.
Maybe, yeah. He'll get there, though.
He will. So, other things this week, Dunkirk I watched last night, which is the Chris Nolan movie, speaking of Batman, it's the latest Chris Nolan film, which I completely missed at the cinema. Utterly compelling and really interesting sort of big epic movie telling a bunch of very small stories of various people's perspectives of the events surrounding the thing that happened at Dunkirk, which was basically them sending a fleet of ships to get them off the beaches because they were all the soldiers were stranded on the beach. Really, really good. I mean, absolutely brilliant. It is basically almost 2 hours of you watching people die and ships getting bombed, but it's thoroughly compelling. Really solid movie, well worth watching if you've not caught Dunkirk yet. I really, really enjoyed that. Krypton aired last night, first episode of that. I had actually seen it prior because I did an interview with Wallace Day, who plays one of the characters on the show. So I'd seen the first episode before then, but it's now officially got out on E4. Really enjoy what they're doing with that series. Very interesting twist on the sort of Superman mythos. The way that they tie it into Superman, I think, is really clever. So if you've not caught that yet, it's well worth going to watch. Really enjoying it. And then we had a couple of trailers this week. Marvel's Iron Fist got a season 2 trailer, which actually looks quite good, which is good because considering the sort of, you know, what people thought of or a lot of people thought of Iron Fist season 1, I think he slightly redeemed himself going into the Defenders and Luke Cage. I think he was more bearable in those than he was in the sort of very mopey kind of first season of Iron Fist. He's got a bit lighter, which is better. And the trailer looks really good. So I'm looking forward to seeing that. And the first trailer arrived for Star Wars Resistance, which is this new Star Wars animated series from Dave Filoni, the guy that made Star Wars Rebels and Clone Wars. Although I don't think he's running the day-to-day on it. It seems like it's maybe aimed at a slightly younger audience, possibly. I mean, I guess Rebels was as well, but it I don't know, doesn't seem to have the weight that Rebels necessarily add to it from that trailer. Looks interesting though, different animation style. It's coming to Disney XD in the UK in October. We don't have an exact date for it yet, but if you're a Star Wars fan, it's going to be one to watch out for most definitely. So that's all the stuff we've been doing this week. Let's move on to some TV and film news. So we kick off the TV and film news with the renewals, cancellations and pickups. A few things we've got. TNT in the US network in America has ordered what they're calling a limited series called The Angel of Darkness. It's essentially The Alienist season 2. The Alienist ran on Netflix over here, so I would guess this well as well. But it's essentially the second book in the Alienist series. But rather than call it The Alienist season 2, they've decided to call it The Angel of Darkness and are referring to it as a limited series for some reason. Same characters as well, so it's not even like it's an anthology series where all the characters change. Same characters, same actors, they've just decided to confuse everybody.
So with limited series, it sounds like they kind of want to wrap it up.
Limited series generally means that it's only something designed to run for one season, or it's designed in such a way that it will be an anthology series. That's usually what they mean by limited series. I wonder if it's an awards thing. So
maybe,
yeah, because it would allow them to enter it into the limited series category because it's sort of a limited series, even though it really isn't, because it's exactly the same cast. So I don't know, we'll see. But yeah, if you enjoyed The Alienist, I'm sure you'll enjoy this. It's a bit like they did with, you know, the Strike series, that the Cormorant Strike series that they did on BBC, where it was sort of Strike colon whatever the name of the book was, you know, Strike a Cuckoo's Calling, and you know, so it seems a bit like it's doing it that sort of way. It's but they seem to have changed the name of the show, but it is essentially The Alienist season 2. USA Network have upset some people and made some people happy because they've cancelled Shooter after 3 seasons, which, I mean, purely on ratings, it was the lowest rating thing on the network after they cancelled Colony, which they did last week. Those were the two lowest rated shows on the network. They're now both gone. But they have picked up a show called Trentstone, which is a Jason Bourne spin-off series, so based on the Jason Bourne books and the movies. It sounds like quite a good idea for a show. Do you know the Jason Bourne
stuff? I haven't seen the most recent one. I just saw it pop up on Netflix the other day.
No,
so I added it to my list.
I haven't watched that yet. It's basically, it's an origin story of Trent Stone, which was the system that was used to create like Jason Bourne and other assassins. So it's a sort of prequel to the Bourne thing. So it follows various sleeper agents who are turned into these superhuman assassins. The only thing that slightly bothers me about this is Tim Krieg is the guy running it, who is the creator of Heroes, who is brilliant at doing one season of things and then screws it up completely for the second season. So it could be great for a season. It's just probably not going to be great much after that, because I have never seen him do a good second season of anything. So there's
I was just going to say, with with Shooter. I remember seeing the pilot and being like, I might come back watch this at some point. And then I saw the new post about it getting cancelled. I thought, nope, never mind.
I won't do it now. That's so. I'd done the same sort of thing. I kind of looked at it and thought, oh, that, I mean, maybe I'll go and watch it.
Because it looked like a decent little action series, and sometimes I'm in the mood for that.
Yeah.
But not anymore.
No, maybe not. A couple of other air date announcements. Atypical, which was absolutely brilliant. Comedy series about a guy who's on the sort of autism spectrum. The first season of that is absolutely superb. It's on Netflix. Second season is coming on the 7th of September. Superb. Well worth going to watch.
Is that the same day as Iron Fist? Because that's also the same day as Spider-Man on PS4. So
I'm not sure. I'd have to go and check.
I think that's the Friday, the 7th of September.
Yes.
Which is definitely when Spider-Man's out. So.
Right, okay. The original season 5, which long overdue, but the 5th and final season of that will be landing in its entirety on the 1st of September on Netflix, so you can binge your way through the whole thing. But I am looking forward to seeing that.
I kept hearing about the original's final season for like a year or something, and then I just kept hearing about it. I was like, has this thing aired or finished yet, or what?
It aired quite late, I think, in the US, there was a lot of talk about it. They announced it way back, probably, I think it was probably last year when they announced that this next season was going to be the final one, and then it was kind of only this year when it aired, and it's been very, very stretched out. But I'm looking forward to seeing it. I want to see that conclude. And it's not obviously the end of the saga, because we've got Legacies coming as well, which is the thing about the children. So there's that, although we don't have a UK broadcaster for that at the moment, but hopefully Netflix will pick it up. Moving on to bigger news, the Watchmen are coming. Watchmen series has been picked up by HBO. We've talked a bit about this before. This comes from Damian Lindelof. It's going to officially debut in 2019. We don't know a huge amount about it. It's basically based on the graphic novel, but isn't a direct copy of the graphic novel, because they've sort of already done that with the movies. They've said that it is an original story. It's going to use the novel as kind of their Old Testament. So all the stuff that happened. All the stuff that is in the book happened the way it said in the book. They've said it's going to have a lot of new characters, some old characters as well, so you're not entirely kind of sweeping the things away, but I mean it's going to be set in that kind of universe where the superheroes exist, but they're kind of treated like outlaws. So it's an interesting sort of dystopian thing to set up, I think, and the cast is quite phenomenal. Tom Misson from Sleepy Hollow, who we've interviewed a couple of times and is absolutely lovely. Jeremy Irons from Batman Superman. Don Johnson, who I think most people will know from Miami Vice. Tim Blake Nelson, Lou Gossett Jr., Francis Fisher, Jacob Ming-Trend, Andrew Howard, Regina King. I mean, just an incredible list of people they've got involved with.
Yeah, that's quite amazing.
I think that's going to be fabulous. Damian Lindelof wrote the pilot. It was directed by Nicole Castle, who has directed things like Westworld, The Leftovers, which was Damien Lindelof's previous show, The Americans as well. So, you know, you can get that, gives you an idea of the type of direction that, you know, they're all fairly, can be fairly dark dystopian things. So I think she's a great person to be directing the pilot. I don't know how many more she's going to do. I mean, I'm really looking forward to seeing this.
This should be quite amazing. Like with Lindelof there, and you've got like kind of the superhero-esque thing, and then you've got like the comic book stuff they can lean into, and of course it's HBO as well. So judging by what you sort of described a minute ago, it sounds like a little bit of like taking some of the lore from previous stuff and kind of doing a soft reboot for TV. So like making it fresh, but still keeping some of the old stuff intact. So I guess like long-term fans of, I guess, the film or the comic will have stuff to like grasp onto. But then like for new people that haven't seen or read any of the other stuff can like watch this as well. So
yeah,
it should be really good.
Yeah, my feeling is it's basically a sequel, but to the comic books and to the movie, but they just don't want to call it a sequel. That's essentially,
they don't want to tie it in like too closely, so they can still do their own sort of new thing.
Yeah, then, so it's sort of a sequel to the comic book, I think is probably what they're aiming for. But that's going to be really interesting. In other interesting sci-fi drama or space drama and stuff, we've got Joel Kinnaman has landed the lead role on Ronald D. Moore's new space drama, which he's making for Apple. Joel Kinnaman, most recently you'll have seen him on Altered Carbon. He played Takashi Kovacs Alex in the first season of that, which he's been replaced for the second season by Anthony Mackie, because the whole thing about Kovacs is they re-sleeve into different bodies. So there's a sort of Doctor Who element going on where you can have a different lead every season with the same character. So he's now joined this space drama from Ronald D. Moore, who is the man behind Outlander and Battlestar Galactica. It sounds really interesting because it's set in a sort of alternate world where the global space race of the 1960s never actually stopped. So it's sort of going to be present day, I think, but with a sort of more futuristic feel to it, and with us having explored more planets and that sort of stuff. So Joel Kinnaman's set to play a guy called Edward Baldwin, who is one of the top astronauts at NASA. They've also announced Sarah Jones and Michael Dorman, who are going to play Gordo and Tracy Stevens, who are a high-profile married couple at NASA. As I say, Joel Kinnaman, you'll know from Altered Carbon, also played RoboCop. He was in House of Cards, The Killing, and Rick Flagg in Suicide Squad. Michael Dorman's recently been the lead on the Amazon series Patriot. Interestingly, Amazon haven't decided whether that's coming back for a second season. Third season. It's coming back for a second season later this year. They haven't decided whether it's coming back for a third season. If it does, that will have to shoot around this new space drama. And Sarah Jones starred in Amazon series The Path with Aaron Paul and
I got cancelled.
Yeah, that's now cancelled. And yeah. The USA Network Netflix series Damnation as well. She also was in Sons of Anarchy. So,
Who did she play in Sons of Anarchy?
Polly, she played.
Polly.
I'm trying to think. I think was possibly one of the hooker girls, maybe.
Oh, okay. There's quite a lot of characters space. Yeah,
I could be wrong about that, but I think maybe that's what she was. But I think they're putting together quite a good cast with this. I love Ronald D. Moore's stuff. I mean, Outlander is a brilliant series. I really love that reboot he did of Battlestar Galactica. Again, somebody I've interviewed, because we interviewed him for the that Channel 4 series, the Philip K. Dick series that they did. So yeah, I think this is going to be really interesting.
I'm quite interested in what Apple's maybe doing, because we spoke, I think, before about, was it some sort of Jason Momoa drama there?
Yes, there is.
They're doing, and they've got a couple of other things. Of course, they've got the whole iTunes store itself as well. I don't think we're quite there yet, but we could get to a point where there's too many streaming services where you've got like Netflix and HBO and Amazon and the DC thing and
Disney, yes,
Apple and stuff, and the Disney thing and whatever else is going to be on the way, plus you've got like Sky and all that sort of stuff. So I wonder what they can bring to like the competition, because it's quite a high bar for all that sort of stuff.
My fear is that they're going to insist that you buy an Apple TV box to be able to do it and a subscription. And I hope that isn't the case. I hope they release an app so you can just have an app on the TV and a subscription service. You're not going to have an extra piece of hardware, because that seems unnecessary. We don't really know what they're doing with the streaming service in terms of how they're going to deliver it yet. They haven't made any announcement on that.
It's like they've launched it, because it's been out there for a while anyway, but now they're like slowly adding to it, whereas like DC's kind of doing the opposite, where they're saying like, we got this and this, and we're going to launch later.
But it's still not launched yet, the Apple one. The Apple's still not actually launched.
I mean, like, in terms of their store and that sort of thing.
Oh, well, yeah, but none of this stuff has gone out yet, though, and it will be a separate subscription service, I think.
Okay.
In the same way that they have Apple Music, you'll have a sort of Apple TV subscription service. But how they're going to deliver that, in terms of whether it's going to be a separate app or whether you're going to require hardware for it, or I don't know. But they have got some great things coming. Like you say, there's C, which is this drama starring Jason Momoa. You've got a reboot of Steven Spielberg's Amazing Stories coming. There's Little America, which comes from the creators of The Big Sick, Kamal Nanjiani and Emily V. Gordon, which was an amazing movie. There's a comedy from Kirsten Wiig. There's a new psychological thriller from M. Night Shyamalan. I mean, they've got some really solid stuff coming to that. So we'll have to see how it launches and, you know, what what they end up doing, or whether it's just their own original stuff or whether they're going to have other things on there as well, I don't know. But going to be one to watch out for. Then we've got some more casting news. Luke Mitchell, who you were last seen in Blindspot, he has taken the lead in a show called The Code, which the reason I'm interested in this one is it comes from Craig Sweeney, who was the creator of Limitless, which was an amazing series, and it's criminal that ever got cancelled. The Code follows the military's brightest minds as they take on the US toughest challenges inside the courtroom and out. Each attorney is not only trained as a prosecutor, but also as a defense lawyer, as an investigator, and as a Marine. So it sort of allows it to be a legal drama with some kick-assness to it, I guess.
Yeah.
Craig Sweeney is writing it with The Good Wife and Boston Legal writer Craig Turk. Pilot was directed by Mark Webb, who is the guy that directed a couple of the amazing Spider-Man movies. So yeah, I mean, I think it sounds like it could be a really interesting series. And Luke Mitchell's great. Luke played, well, I mean, like any good Australian actor, started off in Neighbours and Home and Away, and then moved on to where he was in the Tomorrow People remake, starred as the...
I was very sad when that got cancelled. That was a really good show.
Yeah,
Tomorrow People.
Yeah, it was a CW show as well, I think. And
yeah.
Very rare they cancel things after one season. Starred as Lincoln, the Inhuman, on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and then most recently been playing Roman on Blindspot. So it's
good. Is he still in Blindspot?
No.
I haven't seen like the end of
not to give anything away about the most recent season, but no, he's not. So.
Okay, because when you posted about him taking the lead, I was like, oh, I wonder if he's still in Blindspot, because he was like fairly regular there.
No, he left Blindspot in the last season. So I think this looks quite interesting. He's a good, solid person to lead it. It was originally piloted back in May, but had somebody else in that role, and they ended up recasting it, apparently. The other actor's loss is his gain. But I think he's a very, very watchable lead, and it's about time he got a lead part in something. So looking forward to that. And lastly, more casting. A lot of casting this week. More casting. They have cast Spock in Star Trek Discovery, and it is an actor called Ethan Peck. Ethan Peck's not somebody that I was aware of prior to this casting. The name Peck may mean something to certainly older people, because he's the grandson of the Academy Award-winning actor Gregory Peck. So he's a lineage actor, I would say. He has been in a few things. 10 Things I Hate About You, the TV series. He was in Time, the movie. Sorcerer's Apprentice he was in, and he popped up in Madam Secretary as well. So he has been in a few things. He's the latest actor to take on the role of Spock, obviously, after Leonard Nimoy and Zachary Quinto.
Mm-hmm.
He's a pretty good match, actually, I would say. And they need to have Spock in this series, obviously, because if you've seen the trailer for this series, you know that Spock is a reasonably big part of it by the looks of things. Of course, plays half-brother to Sinequa Martin Green's Michael Burnham. And at the end of the last season... Mild spoilers for anybody that hasn't watched the first season of Star Trek Discovery, but yeah. What are you doing if you hadn't watched it by now? At the very end of the last season, we do see them meet up with the USS Enterprise, which is helmed by Captain Pike, who was played by Anderson Mount from Hell on Wheels and Inhumans. If you watch the trailer, you see that Captain Pike actually takes over, and there's a lot of talk about how Spock is sort of on leave at the moment because he's chasing something down, but the thing he's chasing down sounds like ties into the story. So we kind of knew that Spock was going to show up at some point. But yeah, I mean, if you take a look at the guy's picture that up on the story up on the website, he's pretty solid match, I would say, to a sort of young looking Spock. So quite interesting.
I took a glance at the picture, and I agree with that. It's going to be really interesting to see how this all ties together, like with him being related to Michael Burnham, and like what they even do next, like with each other, all these new characters, well, not new characters, but the characters that are joining the series and stuff, and how all of the characters all the new characters we had introduced last season, how they're going to connect together with everything. Because of course we've got a bunch of the other original Star Trek, sorry, characters.
Yeah.
And see how all that ties in.
Yeah, I'm very interested for the second season of this. And, and we've got other shows coming. There is a little spin-off from Discovery coming, which sort of these little short 15-minute stories that are going to be kind of like a little mini companion series. So hopefully Netflix picks that up as well, because that's going out on CBS All Access in the US.
Have they started coming out yet?
No, I suspect they'll come out with the main show, but they're going to be background on certain characters. So that's going to be kind of interesting. And then, of course, we have the Picard series coming as well. Don't know when that's going to arrive.
I imagine with the main show and even with the talk show, I can't remember the name of it, but with that being picked up on Netflix, I would imagine the shorts would end up on there as well.
I suspect they're going to go and pick up as much Star Trek stuff as they can. I'm very much looking forward to this.
We don't have an air date yet, do we? But it's early 2019.
No, we know it's going to be early 2019. They have said that, but we don't have an exact date. It will depend when they start pushing it out on CBS. But they have said it will be early next year. One to look forward to. With that all done, let's move on to this week's interview.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
So the interview this week is actually a first for us, because it's a stunt coordinator, which we've never had on before. Court Hessler. He's the stunt coordinator on The Blacklist. To give him his full title, he's Court L. Hessler III, apparently. But he was being nominated for Outstanding Stunt Coordination in a Drama Series for The Blacklist this year, and for an Emmy. This is his 10th Emmy nomination, makes him the most Emmy-nominated stunt coordinator ever. He's won once before in 2014 for The Blacklist. He's actually been nominated every year since 2014 as well. So, I mean, this is a guy that really knows his stuff. One of the reasons that we think that he keeps on getting nominated is because he uses very, very minimal CGI work. Pretty much everything he's done in camera, as much as humanly possible, they do in camera. So when somebody falls off a building, it's a real person falling off a building. If they fall into a table, it's them doing it. If cars crash, cars are crashing. So it makes it as authentic as possible. He's also directed an episode last season as well. So he's made the transition from stunt coordinator to director, which is fairly rare. You know, you don't get that many people that do that. He's worked across a number of other shows as well. Sneaky Pete, which I absolutely adore. The Good Fight and The Good Wife. He worked on Bluebirds, Burn Notice, ER. So we talk a little bit about some of those, but mainly we're talking about his stunt work on The Blacklist. And it's just really interesting. He's a lovely guy. Really interested to see how they set up stunts and all that sort of stuff and how he got into it. So here's the interview with Court. We'll see you afterwards with some highlights for next week on TV. It's lovely to be talking to you. You're actually the first stunt coordinator we've ever talked to. So,
oh, really? Cool.
Yeah. So that's kind of different for us, because we've done like a lot of behind the scenes people, you know, composers and makeup artists and costume people and that. But we've never done a stunt performer before or a stunt coordinator before. So,
well, I'm glad to be your first.
Yes. So I'm very happy to have you on. And you work on a couple of my favorite shows. I mean, I really love The Blacklist. Blacklist is such a great show. And you worked on Sneaky Pete as well, which is also an awesome show.
Sneaky Pete was fun. It was a little bit different, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, really good show. But The Blacklist, I mean, one of the reasons that you're on really is the fact that you got your 10th nomination for an Emmy.
Yeah.
which is like, I mean, I was looking over the Emmy nominations for that category, and you're ahead by at least 6 nominations for everybody else, as far as I can see.
I think Norman Howell.
Maybe. Okay.
He has like 7 or I think 8, actually. This year was probably his 8th.
Okay.
But so, then it dropped off.
Yeah, it's rarefied air though. I mean, the ones from the ones I was looking at, you got Jeff Wolf, I think, has 4. Rowley Ehrman has 3. Christopher Place has 3 for Rowley Ehrman, obviously for Game of Thrones.
Yeah, sure. Yeah,
which does have some pretty spectacular.
Yeah, that's yeah. They have a great show there. Raleigh does.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's insane. So yeah, I think you're the only one that's actually been nominated pretty much every year since 2014. So that's pretty good going.
Yeah, I'm not complaining. Not at all. It's been a kind of a fun ride. It just means I'm getting older too, right?
Yeah, maybe. Oh dear. So, as I said, you're the first stunt guy we've had on. So do you want to just give a little bit of explanation about what your job entails?
Sure. Well, as a stunt coordinator, I oversee the creation of all the stunts on the show. So I start with reading the script and breaking down the action and having a conversation with the writers and the director to figure out how to best go about of creating what they want to see on film. So it starts with meetings. Then it starts with me playing with toy cars sometimes in front of them and showing them what to do. Yeah, I have a whole cool little matchbox set of cars with like literally taxis and police cars and vans. And
so awesome.
And yeah, I sit there and I'll draw a big map out on a piece of paper and I'll show them how we're going to do the chase and how the cars will crash and everything. And it goes further into actually coming up with how to build any needs, like the roll cages in the cars or the ramps,
yeah,
or any kind of systems with cables if I'm jumping people from one building to another to keep them safe. And it goes all the way down to I cast the stunt players. I hire the stunt players,
right,
to work the show. But the biggest component of being a stunt coordinator is I was a stunt person first.
Yes.
So I took the knowledge of being a stunt person to get to where I'm at today so I can safely pull off these stunts.
I imagine that's quite common in the industry of like the you sort of get to a point where you decide you're maybe slightly older than wanting to be thrown around in cars as much, you know?
We don't heal as fast as we did when we were 20.
Yeah,
so it's kind of a natural progression.
So I imagine quite a lot of the stunt guys, you know, that want to stay in the business end up going on and doing stunt coordination.
Yeah, it's for the longevity of it, sure.
Yeah, yeah.
You can only hit the ground so much.
Yeah, I'm sure. So, I mean, how do you get into a job like that? Because, I mean, there's been a few people that we've talked to in the industry who like fell into the role that they're doing. Quite often production designers. Production designers never set out to do production design. They sort of stumble into it, realizing it's a job they could do, you know? Is that the same sort of thing with a stunt person? How do you end up in the industry?
It's kind of ironic because you would fall or stumble as doing a stunt, right? So you kind of fall or stumble into your first job.
Yeah.
Everybody has a different path to get here. You have gymnasts, you have karate or martial arts people.
Yeah.
You have race car drivers, motorcycle drivers, rigging people. So everybody has their own path. Me, I started doing live shows at Disney World down in Florida.
Right, yeah. So
that sent me on my path, which got me into live shows. And the progression was I started at Disney World in Florida, opened up Universal Studios in Florida doing a live stunt show. And that turned into the television work.
Right.
But everybody kind of starts in their specialty. I started in the business because I was a water skier. I was paid to water ski and drive boats at the boat show. And that was pretty much my in to the business was I was known as one of the water guys.
Right.
That's kind of how everybody, including myself, gets into it. You usually fall into that. What is your specialty? The other thing that people do is they fall into it because they look just like an actor.
Right. Yeah.
And you get lucky when you find somebody who looks like an actor that's super talented with their personal body skills, meaning they can do anything. They can fight, they can fall, they can drive cars, they can jump off buildings. So looks have a lot to do with it when you get into stunts also. It's not all looks, but your card being punched is you look just like this actor. You should be a stunt person.
Yeah. You look a bit like Harrison Ford, but he's far too expensive to throw through this window.
Right, exactly. So. Exactly like that. You're expendable in a way.
Yeah. Exactly. So, have you always been kind of like this? Were you one of those kids that ends up sort of throwing themselves off the top of garage roofs and that sort of thing?
Yeah, I was always the kid that would go first.
Right.
So I started out living in Buffalo, New York. So, you know, in my neighborhood, they'd send me out on the ice first. If it didn't break, okay, everybody else would come out. And it broke. I went through.
Wow.
I would line up the garbage cans in the street, set up a wooden ramp and jump them with no helmet because we didn't have helmets in the 70s.
Yeah, ghost.
Yeah, I was that kid. I was always in the ER. Like the ER doctor knew me by name, by first name. My parents were like, oh, this is great. And in fact, when I was 18 months old, I did my first stair fall. My mom was vacuuming, and I walked over to the basement and went head over heels down the stairs. And then after that, I was like 4 years old, and I'd climb up on top of the refrigerator and I'd jump off all the time. My parents I feel sorry for them having me as a kid when I was younger.
Yeah. Talking about stressful, man.
Yeah. But so, that was my childhood.
You start out in the industry, and I mean, I was just looking back through your IMDb. One of the earliest jobs you did was on Superboy before the superhero shows were kind of really popular. you're on Superboy, which is a great place to start. And I mean, there's so many superhero shows now, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, there are a ton of them with Marvel and Netflix, and it's like every time you turn around, there's a new show going on, a new superhero. And that was like, that like Superboy way back then, that was so basic. Yeah. It was so long ago.
Yeah.
Compared to what you see now with these superhero shows, it's like, holy mackerel.
Yeah.
You know, those shows have an advantage over like what I have with Blacklist.
Yeah.
They usually have a team of stunt coordinators that work on it. They have like the Marvel shows usually have a stunt coordinator, an assistant stunt coordinator, a fight choreographer, and a previs person.
Right.
With the previs, they practice it and they shoot it and they show it to the director. Where on Blacklist, I don't have that kind of time.
Yeah.
Our turnaround time's too fast.
Yeah.
Because we're network. So back in the early parts of Blacklist, we were doing shoots on Friday and it was airing on a Monday. So I didn't have any time. And I watch these shows and they have 2 weeks of fight rehearsals. I'm like, this is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't get that. I don't get that.
Keeps you on your toes.
Yeah, right. That's one thing I will say about Blacklist is it's a lot of action, not much time. But I love that pace. It doesn't get boring. It keeps you, every day of work is a new day. And it's something like going to school the first day every single day.
Yeah.
Much fun.
Yeah. So you get nominated pretty much every year for an Emmy. One of the reasons probably for this is the fact that you're very, very minimal with CGI work, if at all. You tend to do everything as physical stunts if you can.
Yeah, that goes back to beliefs about CGI, where CGI is a great tool.
Yeah.
And it really helps you. It helps you with the safety aspect of the stunt. It can really put a little cherry on top, right?
Yeah.
So I'd use it as little as possible, mainly because I have to with the TV schedule. Yeah. They don't have enough time to do everything they would normally do on some of these superhero shows to make it look more realistic, where I have to make it look realistic because they don't have to. They help me. They get rid of my safety cables. Or like if I'm going to do a car crash, I'll do a little green screen shot with an actor in a car, shoot a plate through the window. You see the impact on them, but then we cut it back to a real car crash happening.
Yeah.
So it keeps the actor involved in it without putting them in danger. But my belief on CGI is it should just be a tool, because as soon as the audience knows it's all computer generated, it takes that adrenaline out for the audience, because they're like, it was just done on a computer.
Yeah.
Where the way Blacklist is, you're like, oh, that was really somebody just got hit by a car. Holy crap.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, no, totally. I mean, where are you usually performing these stunts? Are they always done on backlots, or are you sometimes having to clear streets to do this stuff?
No, we're in New York, so we do everything on the street. I mean, we have a studio. You know, right now we're a 9-day show, so we're probably 3 or 4 days on the stage. And that's usually in the war room. You know, we rarely do that much action on the stage. It's always out in the streets.
Really?
I wouldn't say always, but majority of the time it's out in the streets and really confined spaces in New York. When we're doing these car chases, I have a lot of limitations because the buildings are so close. The streets are so crowded. Even though we lock it up, it's New York. You stand there and say, excuse me, sir, please don't. And they're already past you. They have their day to complete. It's New York.
Yeah.
So it's very, very difficult to tackle the city with all this action. And it takes a good team. It's the entire production team. It's the AD team. It's the PA team. It's the locations department. They all help me so much to try to get these things pulled off in such a tight, close quarters of the city.
Yeah.
But I think that also adds to it too, doing it. We're really doing it in this beautiful city that's so tight. We can't go 55, 60, 70 miles an hour for a car chase. We're restricted by only going 35 miles an hour in the city. So we have to shoot it away so it looks faster.
Right. Yeah. That's really crazy.
It's actually tough, but you know, it, again, like you said earlier, it keeps you on your toes. It keeps you thinking. It keeps you, how can we do this to make it look more realistic, even though we can't go to the realistic speed?
Yeah.
You know, we do little tricks with the camera. We just shoot a little bit tighter than most shows. You know, we don't really go for those really wide shots because it tells too much sometimes.
It
gives away the magic of it.
How often did they come to you with a stunt and you look at it and go, how the heck are we going to do this?
All the time. You know, that's the part of it. That's what keeps it so exciting is our writers write action. Like, okay, yeah, what's a good example? A guy is hiding in the room, in the ceiling from Red Reddington, and Reddington yells, come on, and all of a sudden he comes crashing through the ceiling onto a table in front of him. I mean, it sounds small, but man, that was fun. You know, it's, how are we going to do this to make it look real without falling into pads? And let's just do this in one shot. So there's things you do. You get to create. You get to come up with new ideas to make it look real. So we used a real ceiling. It was drywall, so you break through it.
Yeah.
We used a real table. So all I did with the table is I put a little thin piece of neoprene across the top of the table, a little piece of padding.
Yeah.
And had them paint it the color of the table. And then I cut the legs on one side a little bit. But underneath the table on the legs, I used green planter's foam. So you couldn't see it. They painted it brown.
Right.
But what that did was when the stunt guy fell from the 10-foot ceiling and hit the top of the table, he told me it felt like he landed in a box of tissues. It was so soft. Because the legs of the table absorbed the impacts. And he was like, this is awesome. But it was violent. On the day I ran over there, I'm like, are you okay? He's like, yeah, that was awesome. So it's that kind of stuff. Even the little things like that. That's a smaller stunt, but they write it and you think, how am I going to do this? And they just say, give us options. So I'll give them different ideas. And our production design team, they helped me a lot. And my special effects team, between everybody, we work together and we create not just your everyday stunt. It may look like that sometimes on film, but we're really pushing the envelope with that show and the limited amount of time that we do it.
Yeah, I mean, that's a crazy turnaround schedule that you've got on that show. That's really insane.
This season is going to be a little bit different. We're still on a nine-day schedule we are now a nine-day schedule this season, but we don't air until after the first of the year. So from now until December, when we go on the holiday hiatus, we're kind of relaxed. It's the first time in six seasons we're relaxed shooting right now because we're not up against a deadline right in front of us every week.
yeah, that's got to be nice. You can actually get some in the bag for a bit. So,
yeah.
What's been the most challenging thing for you in terms of maybe a stunt or doesn't necessarily need to be on the blacklist, just one that you've been involved with?
Well, you know, the most challenging stunt that I was involved with was there's a TV show called ER.
Yes.
Back in the late 90s, early 2000s.
I remember it well. Yes.
And the producers called me. I was working on a show for them. Same producers called Third Watch. So they called me up and said, hey, Court, we have this script that we just wrote and it involves 20 people on a balcony that's 40 feet high in the air. And we want it to collapse with all of them on it.
Right.
Oh, and they go, oh, we want to do it in one take.
Right.
So I was
like,
whoa, okay, this could be fun. So they gave me a month to plan that sequence out.
Wow.
And it ended up being the most challenging stunt, but the most gratifying piece of work to be a part of.
Yeah.
We pulled it off in one take and it was 20 people standing on this balcony that I had rigged to collapse. It was 40 different cables going up to one grid. So when you looked up there, I was going, oh my gosh, what is all that spaghetti up there? Because it just looked like lines are going everywhere.
Yeah.
And everybody was on even though they were attached to a cable, they were on a completely unassisted free fall for 32 of the 40 feet. So the last 8 feet, we decelled them 6 feet and everybody's feet were 2 feet off the ground when it stopped. It's out there online. The name of the episode was called The Show Must Go On for ER.
I think there's a little showreel thing of when I Googled you, there's a little showreel and it's on the showreel. I remember watching it. It's a phenomenal sequence is.
I think that by far was the most challenging and again, most gratifying. I was a stunt guy for a long time and I've done a lot of big stunts. I hold a world record for the longest boat jump. And my adrenaline, you live off of that, right? It's like a natural drug. I've never had my adrenaline so high as I had it that night. And I wasn't even doing the stunt. You know, you have 20 lives in your hand that you design this stunt. And you're like, man, if this goes bad, it's not one person getting a lump. It's 20 people going to the hospital. It's a big deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I would say that's my number one.
Yeah, I can imagine. I mean, obviously, you're dealing with actors. How often do the actors kind of come up to you and say, oh, I want to do this myself? And do you tend to try and discourage that? Or do you just kind of nudge them and say, well, okay, this is probably all right?
It depends on the actor. You know, some people are more athletically talented than others.
Yeah.
So you really have to assess them as a person first. And then also you have to play a balancing game with the studio, because the studio, even though you think they can do it, the studio might not want you to, because if they get hurt,
yeah,
now production will shut down. So yeah, it's a balancing game. You know, like Diego on Blacklist, he plays a character wrestler.
Yes.
He does his own stuff and he likes to drive. So the first season we were getting into some car chases and he kept telling me, Court, man, I want to do this stuff. I'm like, okay, first of all, it looks better when the actors do it and they can do it well. Yeah. Like Tom Cruise on Mission Impossible. He's doing everything himself. Yeah. Know he's doing it, and you just take your head off and say, man, that was awesome.
That guy's a lunatic. So, yeah.
So like Diego, you know, he was a good driver. So I just took it a step further. I took him through the pace of a stunt driving school. Yeah. So I spent a weekend with him and we did everything a stunt driver learns. And we got to one point where I have a camera. I'm running straight for him. He's in a car racing towards me. He pitches a 90. I keep running. And as he's stopping, I'm coming up to his window and put the camera right up next to his face.
Right.
And,
yeah.
So it's really learning the abilities of your actors and finding what they really want to do. You know, you'll have some actors too that they don't want to be shown up by a stunt person or pulled out, but they really don't want to do the stunt either. So you have to be the level head saying, you know what, I don't think you should do this. You know, you have a chance to get hurt, or, you know, I know you can do it, but let's just put the stunt person in.
Yeah.
So it's really a balancing game. It's tough sometimes because, you know, I've been in a situation once where an actor demanded to do the stunt. I said no. He kept demanding. He called the producers over and it was going through a window, and it's not a big stunt. It's tempered glass, so you can't get cut bad. But with tempered glass, you always get little cuts. Every stunt person goes to tempered glass. 9 times out of 10, they get a little nick or a cut or something. They start bleeding.
Yeah.
So the producers looked at me and said, no, we think you can do it. I'm like, you know what? I'm just telling you, you guys hired me to be a stunt coordinator. I'm saying no. I'm going to walk off the set for this because I'm telling you no.
Yeah.
You go, okay, fine. Walk off the set. I go, you're taking all responsibility. Well, they called action. When I heard cut, the next word I heard was medic. And the actor cut above his eye. Above his eyebrow, and he had like 12 or 14 stitches.
Wow.
So that actor went to the hospital. He came back. He saw me, gave me a big hug. And he goes, from now on, I listen to you. Delicate balance, because you don't want to hurt anybody's feelings when you say, no, we're going to have a stunt double for you.
Yeah.
And 9 times out of 10, it's really for the better of them and the show, because if they were to get injured at all,
yeah,
it puts everybody out of work, including themselves. And that nobody wants that.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, you mentioned Tom Cruise there, and I mean, they liked his Mission Impossible. He managed to screw up his foot doing one stunt and they ended up shutting the thing down for like a month or something.
You know, it was 2 years ago before that happened. I was doing the same exact stunt with one of my stunt people. We have the same exact rig and we had the same exact accident. He put his foot out to stop himself and it blew his ankle apart. Oof. We did a side-by-side comparison and it was identical.
Really?
So you can see, you know, it proves it's dangerous.
yeah, totally. But then, yeah. I mean, I guess when you're Tom Cruise and you're kind of funding most of it anyway through your own studios and stuff.
But he's also a very athletic, very talented stunt person.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, totally. You know, he has a great stunt double, Casey O'Neill, you know, and Casey will do the stunts with him for him or just rehearse them or what. But Casey's always there. And that stunt team really takes care of Tom.
Yeah.
You know, they have a really well-oiled machine as a stunt team. They're the coordinators and the stunt doubles and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. And some of the stuff they've pulled off is spectacular. So you're working on the Blacklist now. You directed an episode last season as well.
I did. I directed episode 519, which was the Ian Garvey conclusion episode.
Yeah, which was pretty big story as part of that season as well.
Yeah, so it was the end of the arc for that, I was surprised they gave that to me, being it was my first time being the main unit director. I do a lot of second unit directing for the show.
Right, okay.
That was the first time I ever directed the actors, first unit, the whole entire episode. It was so much fun. And again, it goes back to how I was saying, you know, I have a good team around me with the effects and the production design and the ADs. The entire cast and the crew just rallied in support. And we just had fun the whole 10 days we shot that. Actually, we shot 11 days because we got snowed out one day halfway through. You know, and they offered me another episode this season. So I'm going to direct episode 620 this season. So cool. Again, it'll be one of the closing arcs of the season.
Yeah.
Or either that or it'll be setting up for the last two episodes of the final.
Yeah. That's awesome. So, I mean, was directing something that you felt that you wanted to go into?
Yeah, I really, really enjoy second unit directing.
Yeah.
It doesn't have all the pressures of main unit directing, but everybody kept telling me I should direct. I'm like, yeah, okay. So I took my time and paid my dues and learned my craft through second unit directing. So I felt comfortable when it was time for me to give it a shot. And after doing it, yeah, I'm going to pursue it. I don't have a directing agent, and I won't even look for one until I'm completely done with Blacklist, because if I do and I get a new agent and they start finding work and I keep having to turn them down because they say I'm not leaving Blacklist until I'm done, they're going to forget about me.
Yeah. No, totally. That makes perfect sense.
Yeah. So I'm going to hopefully be able to land an agent after we finish up on Blacklist.
I will... just finish off with my usual final two questions. First question always is, what TV shows are you watching at the moment?
Me? I'm a fisherman, so I watch Wicked Tuna and Deadliest Catch. I don't really watch scripted television too much.
Right.
Just because I'm doing it every day.
Yeah.
And I watch those shows and it's kind of like a mind relaxer for me. Yeah. And in fact, it was funny. I was fishing in a fishing tournament off of Virginia Beach back in June. And one of the boats called Fishing Frenzy from Wicked Tuna Outer Banks Edition was fishing right next to us. So I was like, hey, I know them.
That's awesome.
And I got to meet Sig from the Northwestern on Deadliest Catch at the Emmys like 3 or 4 years ago. So that was kind of fun. We were trading fishing stories with our phones.
That's very cool. And if you had the opportunity to work on any TV show, past, present, or future, what show would it be?
I'd like to get a shot at Game of Thrones.
Well, yeah.
You hear that, Raleigh? If you listen to this, I want a shot, man.
We'll bring you in for something, I'm sure.
I just think, I've never done an epic like that. And it truly is. I mean, they have these huge, massive fights with 200 stunt people. I mean, it would be fun to try something like that. I mean, I'm very content with Blacklist. I love the Blacklist. It's a dream job for me. But you know what? By your question, it'd be fun to take on something of that scale.
Yeah. There's this Lord of the Rings TV series coming, and you'd have to move to New Zealand probably for it, because I suspect they'll shoot it out there. But
well, that wouldn't be such a bad location, would it?
No. I mean, not that that's a bad thing, but right. So yeah, there is that. There's so much epic kind of big, because everybody is now looking for the next big Game of Thrones thing to replace it, because it's only got one more season.
Yeah, that's it.
And there is always the Game of Thrones, like there's the follow-on series that they're planning on doing afterwards. So,
It could be. You know what's funny is I've never, other than like their submissions for the Game of Thrones, I've never watched it. And I haven't wanted to watch it because I want to watch it. I just want to sit down once and just watch the entire thing.
Yeah. You're in for a treat when you get there. It is.
That's
such
what everybody says. I'm excited, but I'm going to wait a little bit longer, maybe one summer that I'm off and just go through it in a couple months,
The show I would love, if you're looking back at, we were talking about those sort of older shows. If you're looking back at shows, I'd love them to remake The Fall Guy.
They're talking about it.
Are they? Brilliant. You see, because I'm amazed that's not been touched yet. And that to me, that with today's tech,
it'd be great.
It could be such a good show.
In fact, it was a few years ago now, but the writer from the TV series Traveler that I did, he had the rights to it. And he called me and said, hey, I think I'm going to try to make this one of these years. Are you interested? I'm like, call me. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Since they're doing them all now, we have MacGyver out now, and coming up next is Magnum PI.
I mean, MacGyver's gone down really well. I suspect Magnum's going to go down real. Hawaii 5-0 went down well. So
yeah.
That's the next obvious one for me out of those sort of 80s kind of.
Yeah, either that or, like the $6 Million Man or something.
Yeah.
Or the Bionic Woman or something, just because of the technology.
They did do a remake of the Bionic Woman.
Oh, that's right. They did.
Michelle Ryan. Yeah.
Yep, I remember that now.
Yeah. Well, it's been lovely to have you on. It'd be great to talk to you. You'll have to come back on at some point, and good luck with the Emmys. I really hope you win this year. That would be great to, because you've won once before for Blacklist, so it'd be nice to get another one.
Yeah, I would. my batting average isn't too good though. 1-9 right now.
Right. Yeah, but I think that's...
I'm just happy to be there. I really am.
Yeah.
But. It was awesome talking to you. And anytime you want to have a conversation, let me know.
Yeah, sure.
You're a pleasure to talk to.
It's been lovely to have you on. And like I say, you're the first stump person. So I'm looking forward to having you back on at some point. We can talk when you're coming to the end of the blacklist, maybe, or you know, when you're on your next thing, we can talk then.
Right on. Sounds cool. Good.
All right,
David. Thanks. Well, thank you. Nice talking to you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
So that was the interview we caught Hessler. The blacklist airs on Sky Witness, or will be Sky Witness when it comes back. And it will be probably early next year, because it's not coming out, as he said in the interview, it's not coming out until early next year in the US. So it will definitely be early next year over here, assuming they follow closely to the US. So that's one to look out for. And Sneaky Pete, if you've not watched that, it's up on Amazon Prime, and first two seasons of that, well worth going to watch. I hope you enjoyed the interview. Now we've got some highlights for next week on TV. So, highlights for next week. Marlon, which is back for its second season, which is starring one of the Wayne brothers. There's like millions of them. this is it's about an internet superstar with a big personality. Yeah, I've not seen the first season of this, so I don't know whether it's any good or not, but that is coming back on the 22nd of August, if you want to watch that. Young and Hungry, fifth season of that, coming to E4 on the 23rd of August at 4:30.
4:30?
Yeah, it's sort of... Yeah. It's an odd afternoon time for that. It's sort of comedy of some description. But one that I am looking forward to, Instinct, coming to Sky Witness 23rd of August. That is, I haven't got a time on here for some reason, but it'll be 9 or 10 o'clock. This is the one that stars Alan Cumming as a former FBI operative turned professor who's lured back into his old life to help to stop a serial killer. I really like the look of this, and I really like Alan Cumming, so I'm very much looking forward to this. But that's Instinct on Sky Witness 23rd of August. Over on Netflix, we've got Great News Season 1 and 2. I think this is actually been cancelled in the US after two seasons, but if you want to go watch it, if you want to watch the two seasons that aired, it's about an ambitious cable news producer who faces a whole new set of problems when her overbearing mother lands an internship on the same show. So that's on Netflix on the 23rd of August. The Innocents, which is a new supernatural teen drama, stars Guy Pearce, Saoirse Groundsell, and Purcell Ascot. That's coming to Netflix on the 24th of August. It's about a teenage couple who runs away, and the extraordinary gifts they possess unleash powerful forces intent on dividing them forever. So it's a sort of teenage supernatural love story type thing, but it's got Guy Pearce in it, which livens it up a bit. I think it could be quite interesting. The Innocents, that's called. It's on Netflix on the 24th of August. The Great British Bake Off is back for its ninth season. Still never seen a full episode of this show. Channel 4.
Me neither.
Channel 4, 28th of August at 8 p.m. for that. And lastly, another one that I've been really looking forward to, Bodyguard Season 1, comes Sunday the 26th of August to BBC One at 9 p.m. Stars Richard Madden as the titular bodyguard and Keely Hawes as the politician that he's supposed to be protecting. It's from the creator of Line of Duty, so you know that it's going to be a decent quality drama. I really think this could be one worth watching out for. So first episode comes Sunday 26th of August at 9 p.m. Episode 2 is then on the following bank holiday Monday, so the day after, again at 9 p.m. I think. It then, for the next 4 episodes, goes back to just being on Sunday. So Sunday's its actual regular slot, but for some reason they've decided to put the first and second episode out on consecutive days. So Sunday the 26th and Monday the 27th are the first 2 episodes of that, if you want to go and watch it. But it's called Bodyguard, BBC One for that. And that's everything we have for this week, unless you want to add anything.
Follow me on Twitter at eTalkUK for various different things as well.
Yes, so. And if you're a fan of Better Call Saul, go and check out the Becoming Saul podcast on entertainment.talk.org. Also for me this week as well, end of the week, it's Insomnia 63 in Birmingham at the NEC. So if you're wandering around Insomnia, I will be there. If you spot me, just come over and say hi. I will be around definitely Friday and Sunday. I'm not sure about the other days, but definitely Friday and Sunday. For us throughout the week, though, go to geektown.co.uk to see the latest air date information. If you want to get in touch with your questions and comments, email us on podcast@geektown.co.uk. Leave your message on the website post. Find us at Geektown on Twitter, on Facebook at facebook.com/geektown, on YouTube at youtube.com/geektown, and on Instagram at geektownuk. That's everything. We shall see you next week. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.